Gracious Holy One, continue to feed us. Feed us, Lord, with your love, your grace, and your mercy. We thank you and we come to you in the name of Jesus, thanking you for the opportunity for us to share our tithes and offerings for the mission and ministry of your church. We ask your continued blessings be upon us as we listen to your preached word and respond accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me call your attention to our scriptorial passage. It comes from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5. And if you don't have a bulletin, please raise your hands. We want to make sure everyone have a bulletin because we're going to read God's word together as the people of God. All right. Norma just waving. You're not waving your hand like you just don't care, right? Okay. I'm sorry. That's some another community. I'm sorry. We don't have any more bulletins. Now, if you're a member of the church and you're a visitor and don't have a bulletin, raise your hand. One of our members are going to give you a copy of the bulletin. We want to make sure you have it because we're going to read God's word together. We all set? All right. All right. Let me say before I read the scripture, I'm so delighted to have these two young ladies. They said, to come in and share it with us. I wasn't here last Sunday, but the Sunday before last, I preached about my high school coach. His name was Coach Edgar Scott. This is his daughter, and this is Mrs. Scott as well. Give them both a hand. Don't they look like just twins? I mean, you know, looking very good. All right. Let me call your attention to our scriptorial passage from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Let us read it together as God's word. It's also on the screen. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trodden underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. Season with salt. Season with salt is the title of my sermon. Look to your neighbor and say the title with me. Season with salt. Amen. I am truly thankful to Trent, a young man who is growing up in this church and who read the scripture from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Let's give him a hand. Thank you, Trent. All right. If you look at this passage of scripture, you immediately will notice a couple of things. Jesus was sharing blessings. He was sharing blessings. That shouldn't surprise us. But yet, if you think for a moment and look back in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is coming from sharing that mountaintop experience with the devil. And he passed all three of the devil's opportunities to trap him up. The temptation experience. But in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is now having a following. They didn't call them Christians like we're called today, but they were followers of the way. And they followed Jesus, and Jesus was located by the mountain, and they were with him. Now, biblical scholars, we don't know as it relates to the exact location of the mountain. Some say the Sea of Galilee, some say around Capernaum. We don't know. But we do know Jesus was there in a large crowd. But check this out. If you read as it relates to Jesus sharing this sermon, you will notice that Jesus was a long-winded preacher. Yeah. How do I know? Look closely in your Bibles. If you have your Bibles, it starts out in chapter 5. You remember the Beatitudes? Trent just read those to us, starting chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, and it's eight blessings that he's giving God's people in those 12 verses. Those 8 blessings can be really known as 8 proverbs without the narratives. But Jesus just didn't stop there. He went from chapter 5, according to Matthew, bless you, and he continued to preach. He goes from Matthew 5 to Matthew chapter 6. Same location, same mountain. No one hit the exit signs. No one left. No one had their phone ringing that they wanted to tip out of worship. He was a long-winded preacher. How do I know? Look at chapter 7. It's a continuation of the same sermon. And some of you have a problem if I go over 20 minutes. Hello. Yeah. He preached in context. Now hold your seats. I'm not going past that. Amen. But the point is this, that Jesus was teaching them as it relates to their relationship with God. And he was sharing various elements, and he was using what was common for them to know and to relate to, those elements. He dealt with salt, and he dealt with light. And you look closely in this passage of Scripture, and you'll see that indeed salt was very significant in biblical times. Salt was a sense of testimony, was a sense of agreement. It was also a sense of God's grace. You heard the choir just finished singing a beautiful anthem, "Feed Me, Lord." That's personal. They were relating to salt and how salt was a sense of that covenant and a relationship. And also salt was a sense of peace and passing peace. It was also given as an offering, like we have given our tithes and offerings here this morning. And don't you know, even today, as we're getting ready to embark upon another Lenten season this coming Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, a period of self-denial for 40 days in remembrance of Jesus, 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness of praying and fasting and giving something up during the Lenten season? I don't know about you, but for me, it's hard for me to give up those good things that I love with salt. Yeah, like popcorn, potato chips, you just name it. It's hard. Have you ever noticed? It's hard to eat just one. When you get one, you want another one. When you get another one, you want another one. And I'm not talking about one tater chip. I'm talking about bags of tater chips. Amen. Yeah, let's keep it real. Yeah. It's like a magnet. It's like, you know, it just makes you gravitate towards those things, you know. They're kind of good for us, but we do know we have to have some salt intake, and medically professionals would tell us, don't have too much salt, don't consume too much, because your blood pressure would go what? It'll go up. But yet salt is important. But Jesus takes another twist on this. Jesus looks at the crowd and he tells them, bless you, you are the salt of the earth. Look at Jesus as he's sharing this passage of Scripture. And you'll notice Jesus wanted God's people to be blessed. And the first bullet point that we have this morning is this bullet point here that's in your sermon notes and on the screen. What are some of the greatest blessings of your life? Look to your neighbor and ask that question. What are some of the greatest blessings of your life? Number one, of course, should be on our list, on everyone's list, God. For God is faithful, he is gracious, he is kind. God loves us even when we're not lovable. Hello. He gives us his unconditional love. He gives us his grace. And he lavishes upon us his generosity. Not only that, faith. We are able to have a relationship with God through reading God's word, to praying to God, to taking part in the holy sacraments here this morning. And then family and friends. It's all important. And if you look closely in this passage of Scripture, Jesus was dealing with relationship. And he was dealing with how God's people should relate and respond to God, but not only to God, but also to others. He's reminding them of their responsibility and not to lose hold, not to lose faith of their identity. He's also giving us the point and reference that indeed in life things happen. And sometimes we allow our frustration, our anger, our emotions to get the best of us. And we don't reflect that salt or that light that he's calling us to share each and every day. In our world in which we live now, we need more salty Christians. Christians who will represent Christ, who will help our nation and move us forward as God's people. Never lose your identity. Now, in our last service, and you heard me share this before, we have some young people and they like to hang out in the balcony. I can see them up close and personal. And I reminded them, never forget who you are and whose you are. Never forget that. Don't let anything mess you up or any surroundings or your peer group give you peer pressure. You hear that, Trent? That you forget who you are and whose you are. Immanuel Kant, the philosopher, came along and he said it this way, know thou self. Know thyself and be yourself wherever you are in any setting. This last week, and especially for our visitors and friends, this last week, the United Methodist Church, and maybe many of you have had a chance to see the news articles and all the different ways that we share news media now, made a decision as it relates to not giving ordained clergies the right to perform same-sex unions. It was a meeting that was held in Missouri. And of course, we were there for 5 days as the Florida delegation, as well as people from around the globe, all the different races from all different places were right there. We had people who were straight, who were gays, you just name it. We were all in the same room. That first day, we worshiped God. We worshiped God that morning in the context of not just a few hours, but several hours in prayer and worship with all type of genre of music, trying to get to know each other, and we shared. And the results of our sharing can be placed in the context of that the church is going to still stand behind the biblical mandate. But yet the church is going to have sensitivity and concern for all of God's people. Amen. And express love. That's what the gospel teaches us each and every day, to continue to offer them Christ. Because we're all dealing with something in some situation. And so the church has a chance to step up to the plate, if you will. And this coming Wednesday, before our Lenten service at 6 p.m. at 5 o'clock, we're going to have an opportunity for us to share and have conversation concerning what happened just a few days ago. And we're also going to have the letter from Bishop Carter, who is the Council of Bishop President and also our Florida bishop. But I say that to say this, never lose your identity. Our identity was not lost. All of us continue to strive to become better Christians, better people, to be tolerant of one another, to be accepting of one another. Because Christ reminds us of his love, his grace, and opportunity. Now, looking at identity, that's a word that speaks well to me because I want to share with you, and many of you have met my mother. She even preached at this church before, and my mother called me on Monday while I was in Missouri at the conference, while I was in conference. Some of you probably got those motherly calls. Yeah. And I love my mother, God knows I do. And she called me and she was upset with me. Can you believe that, Howard? Yeah, I knew something was wrong right then. I've got a couple of siblings that I could say she could be upset with them. But she was upset with me because she had heard from her peer group, her friends, her colleagues, and she heard some good news about her son, yours truly. And she heard the news, and she received that news, and she was surprised, but then it came on the radio. And it came on the radio, and she shared with me, I didn't have a clue that you were moving, that you were going to Atlanta, and you were going to be the interim president of Morris Brown College. She had me to Google it, and this is what came up. Dr. Kevin James, interim president, Morris Brown College. Boy, I didn't even know that. Yeah, yeah. But he has an E for his middle initial. I have an M. But then if you look at the right-hand corner, you have who? Kevin James of the King of Queens. That's my guy. Yeah, yeah. We have the same name, but I don't have the same bank account. Hello. But I've been often imitated, but never duplicated. I know who I am. Amen. I know who I am. Identities are so important. We're told to maintain and hold on to our identity. Never give too much information as it relates to our Social Security and this, that, and the other, but to keep our identity. Look at this passage of Scripture. Jesus was now sharing with his followers, as well as us today, he was reminding us that you are the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth. In other words, you are my representatives. You're part of my delegation. You're part of my peeps, my people. And you should go out and encourage others. But if you lost your saltiness, then you're fit for nothing but to be trampled under the feet of men. Jesus was sharing these words with his hearers. He was encouraging them. In fact, look at our next bullet point is this point. What does the Bible say about salt? I'm glad you asked. People of biblical times enjoyed salt just as we do. And those days before refrigeration, salt was and still is important in preserving food. Their salt between us was an agreement. If you don't believe that, look at Numbers. It's right there in your footnote, that citation. Also, salt was offered with all grain offerings. They would bring their offerings to God, but they also would bring salt because salt was very valuable. Salt would help cleanse. Salt would help heal. Salt would help change different elements. Look at 2 Kings when you go home and look at Elijah. Elijah and God's people were traveling, and the Bible says, around Jericho. And when they got to a body of water, Elijah noticed that the water was bad. What did Elijah do? Elijah got a grain of salt, prayed, and placed the salt in the water, and the water was cleansed. Salt was extremely important in biblical times, as well as today. And Jesus reminds us, you are the salt of the earth. But then he doesn't move just from that element. He takes them to something else that they can relate to. Because if you look closely in this passage of Scripture, as Trent shared, Jesus wasn't hanging out with the king and queens of the day and the high and mighty. No, no, no. Jesus was hanging out with broken people, people whose lives were broken. How do we know? Did you hear what Trent said? When Trent was reading the Word of God, he said that Jesus was hanging out with the meek. Jesus was hanging out with those who were poor in spirit. Jesus was hanging out with those who were humble. He was hanging out with folks who were persecuted for righteous' sake. Greater is your reward in heaven. He encouraged them in the midst of their brokenness. Whatever you're dealing with this morning, he's encouraging you and me to come to him. Come to him, and I'll take care of your brokenness because I want you to be the salt of the earth. Then he goes to light. He shares, you're the light of the world. And light illuminates the atmosphere. Have you ever been in a dark room and you turn on the light switch? It gives what? Light into the room. It illuminates. And that's what he wants to have you and me to do whenever we go to any place in the world, because we're there. We should represent his light. We should be his salt. Now, there are times when we don't feel like light, times when we don't feel like salt. We feel frustrated, disappointed, discouraged, and we allow some of those emotions to get ahead of us being salt and light. But Jesus is willing for us to repent of our sins and come to him. Amen? And to have our lives shaped better. He reminds us, not only are you the salt of the earth, but you're the light of the world. The light of the world can't be hidden. You're the light. And you should let your light shine that men and women may see your good deeds and glorify whom? Your Father in heaven. Not yourself, but your Father in heaven. This morning, we shared a scripture, and the choir can help me, from the 119th Psalm. And it goes like this. The word is a... Oh, come on, choir. You're supposed to have that rhythm. All right, let's try that again. Here we go. The word is a lamp, feet, and a what? A light unto my path. That's it. God's word. God's word continues to make a difference, continue to guide, continues to hold, continues to sustain us. Look at the last bullet point question is this question. What purpose do we serve as salt for the sake of Christ? Look to your neighbor and ask that question. What purpose do we serve as salt for the sake of Christ? When we do outreach ministry, and we do a numerous of different outreach ministries here at this church, and inward ministry as well, we're representing the salt. We're representing the light of Christ. When we look to make a difference in the lives of others, not so much for ourselves, but for other people. For other people, that's what we're called to do, to reflect Christ wherever we are. Let me close by sharing this illustration with you. James Moore shares an illustration about his friend Tom. Tom was working in a homeless shelter. Tom was a clergy. Tom was there and he was sharing and he was also offering the broken body and the shared blood. He was offering communion. And people came up to receive the elements. And yet it was one man, he came up to the altar, but he refused the elements. And so Tom went closer to him and asked him, was anything wrong? And the man responded by a whisper. He said to Tom, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. But to his surprise, Tom replied, I'm not worthy either. I'm not worthy either. And then he shocked the man again. He freaked him out, actually. Tom took the communion elements. He kneeled. He gave the man the tray and the elements. And he asked the man to give him communion. Now, this man hadn't been to seminary. This man hadn't been trained or anything of that nature, and that's fine. But the man knew enough to share the elements with Tom by saying these words, the body and blood of Christ, hang in there. That was it. Tom received those elements. He got up. The man kneeled down. Tom handed him the elements, and he said, the body of Christ, the body and blood of Christ, hang in there. My brothers and sisters, whatever you're going through, know beyond a shadow of a doubt, hallelujah, the body and blood of Christ is encouraging you to hang in there because we are the salt of the earth and we're the light of the world. It's not based upon our works or our righteousness because we come to this table not worthy even to just hold a crumb under the Lord's table. But through Jesus Christ, he made us worthy. Can I get a witness? Through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, he makes us worthy that we can come to the table and share in these elements. Thanks be to God. Hang in there. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand.